In this week's Seder, Moshe Rabbeinu calls together Klal Yisrael to unite in preparation for building the Mishkan, because the Mishkan is a place of unity. It both unites heaven and earth. The Mishkan is a unity of many, many different parts that symbolize the entire universe, physical, spiritual universe. The Mishkan was a continuation of God's presence as it was on Har Sinai. And just like over there, the Jewish people had to unite to receive the Torah, as we've explained many times. The Torah is not the domain of any individual, but it's the domain of many, many different parts together. And only when everybody is united can the Torah be complete. And just like at Har Sinai, they were ki'ish echad b'lev echad, like one person with one heart. So the continuation of God's presence that continued on in the Mishkan from Har Sinai had to be also with a tremendous unity. And Shabbos also. So that's where, what's it called? That is why Moshe Rabbeinu, Vayakel Moshe as Kol Adas Yisrael. Moshe gathered together all the congregation of Yisrael. We'll see there are three kinds of unities in a second. Also, Shabbos is also a time of unity, because wherever there is the Shechina, wherever there is extra Ruchnius, there's unity. Spiritually, we're all one. Physically, we're separated. So Shabbos, the Shechina is more pronounced, and we have an extra Neshama, so there's more of an idea of unity. And during the week, Shabbos, everybody stays in one place, so they're unified in one place, can't walk around. And during the week, everybody's involved with a different malacha, different works. Shabbos, you can't do any work, so you're more concentrated on spiritual things and therefore more unified. And that's why it says on Shabbos, everybody should stay in their place, not move around or whatever, and be disunified physically and spiritually. And that's why the Shaloh HaKodesh says that when it says Lo Sevaru Eish B'chol Moshoseichem B'yom HaShabbos, don't burn fire, it alludes to the fact of not burning the fires of dissension, arguments, or whatever. Don't get into arguments on Shabbos, the fire of Machlokas. Because Shabbos is a time for unity. And therefore, the building of the Mishkan does not supersede the keeping of Shabbos. You can't build the Mishkan on Shabbos. Because the Mishkan, the building of the Mishkan is to create unity. You take the 39 malachos and you're using them to create a unity, but you didn't get to unity yet. And the Mishkan is the, and Shabbos is unity. So you don't utilize disunity to supersede where you already have unity. However, service of the Mishkan, making the sacrifices, lighting the menorah, does supersede Shabbos. That you can do on Shabbos, because there already the Mishkan is together, and the Mishkan also is a sign of unity. It doesn't contradict the unity of Shabbos. Now, basically, there are three kinds of unities. There's Kahal, Vayakel Moshe. He gathered them together into a congregation. Eskol Adas, another kind of congregation. Yisrael, the third kind. So there are three kinds of unity. The first one is called Kahal. Kahal literally means a congregation, to congregate. Congregate means many people congregating in the same place and doing the same thing together. And that is the idea of Barov Am Hadras Melech. The more people doing a mitzvah together, the more honor to God. There's strength in numbers. Eino dome yochid osas ha-mitzvah. L'rabim osim es ha-mitzvah. There's no comparison of an individual doing mitzvahs or a group of people doing mitzvahs. The group, there's strength in numbers, right? And therefore, that is the first kind of unity, where people unite physically in the same place, do the same thing together, but do it in a much more qualitative way, because they're doing it together as a unified group. Then there's an Eda. An Eda is also a congregation, but from a different standpoint. An Ada, people can be scattered all over the world, but they can still be an Ada, because the what unites them is not their physical proximity, but their ideas, ideals, goals. They have common goals, ideas, ideals. And therefore, I think the word Ada either comes from the word edus, testifying, testimony. They all testify towards the same goals, standards, ideas. Or Ada can have a connection to the word Ya'ad. Ya'ad means destination. They all have the same destination, the same goals. They're all going the same place, even though they're not united necessarily in the same place at the same time. And we learn that an Ada is a tzibur, is a minion, is made of an Ada from the Meraglim, right? They all had one, unfortunately, common purpose of negative, but what united them was, the ten were united in the fact that they, what's it called, they had bad intentions, the same bad intentions of bringing a bad report about Eretz Yisrael. So there, what unites the people is their intention, their ideas, not necessarily their physical proximity. And then there's Yisrael. Yisrael is the third kind of unity. And that is, the Zohar says on the word Yisrael that it's an acronym. That means that the first letters of the following words spell the word Yisrael. Yesh, there are. Shishim, ribui, 600,000 osios, letters, la Torah, to the Torah. So the first letters of those words, yesh is yud, shishim, shin, ribui, resh, osios, aleph, la Torah, lamed, Yisrael. Simple meaning, there are 600,000 letters in the Torah. And the significance is, there are 600,000 root souls of the Jewish people. Each root soul is like a cluster. There are many, many Jews who are part of that root soul. There's more than 600,000 Jews. But there's 600,000 root souls of the Jewish people, and there are 600,000 letters in the Torah. So every Jew has his letter.
Would you mind going through the acronym again?
Yeah, Yesh,
yeah.
Shishim, mm-hmm. Ribui, Resh, Beis, Vav, Aleph, Osios, La Torah. Osios is Aleph, Vav, Tav, Yud, Vav, Tav. That's letters. La Torah, to the Torah. So that is the idea, that every Jew is like a letter in the Torah, has his letter in the Torah, 600,000 letters, 600,000 root souls of the Jewish people, and that's Yisrael. There's only one problem. There aren't 600,000 letters in the Torah. There's only 304,000 588 letters in the Torah, which is less than half. So there are many answers to the question of what the Zohar means. For instance, it says you have to count the Targum, because it was given at the same time the Torah was given, the Aramaic translation of the Torah, and that doubles it, pretty much. There's other answers too. However, I think there's no question. The question would only be if it said, Yesh Shishim Ribui Osios BaTorah. There are 600,000 letters in the Torah. But if it would say that, the acronym would not be Yisrael, it would be Yisra'ab, because the last letter would be a base, BaTorah. So in order to be Yesh Shishim Ribui Osios LaTorah, it has to be Yisrael, it has to be LaTorah, to the Torah, which means the following. There's another Zohar that says, Yisrael V'Oraisa V'Kud Shabarichu Chadhu, the Jewish people, the Torah, and God are one. That means that without the Jewish people, the Torah is not complete. So therefore, you have to add 600,000 letters to the Torah to make it complete. What are those letters? The souls of the Jewish people. The Torah is comprised of 300,000 written letters, and in order to make it complete, you have to add another 600,000 letters, but those letters are the souls of the Jewish people. And that makes the Torah complete. So that's what it means. Yei shishim ribui osios la Torah, there are 600,000 letters to the Torah, is that you have to combine and connect the Jewish people to the Torah to make the Torah complete. And therefore, the analogy, though, is the same. Just like in the 304,000 written letters, there's no two letters that are the same. because even though there are only 27 different letters, but the placement of the letter makes it unique. In other words, the Beis in Bereishis is not the same Beis as the Beis in Bara, because the Beis in Bereishis is preceded by nothing, and afterwards comes Reish Aleph Shin Yud Tov and a bunch of other words till the end of the Torah. The Beis in Bara has a word before it, and only as many letters as Bereishis is missing after it. So it's placed, what sentence it's in, what word it's in, what sedra it's in, what book it's in, makes every single letter unique. So too, every Jew is unique. And every Jew has his portion in the Torah that he contributes towards the common good. So here, it's not a lot of people doing the same thing together physically, nor spiritually. It's everybody contributing their unique part towards the whole. That's a different kind of unity. Comes out that there are three kinds of unity. Two of them, everybody is doing the same thing. And one of them, everybody's doing something different. And it's interesting that there were three donations to three trumos to the Mishkan. Three different donations. One, they contributed towards the silver that went into making the adonim, the sockets, which formed the foundation of the Mishkan. The boards went into those sockets. That's what held them up. That was the foundation of the Mishkan. And in that, everybody gave the same thing, a half a shekel of silver, all equal. Rich, poor, everybody gave the same material, the same amount, and that formed the foundation of the Mishkan. And that corresponds to the Kahal aspect of the Mishkan. You have physically the Mishkan becoming one because of its foundation, makes it one. All of the boards now are connected to be one entity. It's a physical connection. And that is like the Kahal. The Kahal is a physical unity where everybody's doing the same thing together. And here also, everybody donated the same thing to create the foundation, the physical foundation of the Mishkan. Then the second donations were to go towards the sacrifices. There also, everybody donated the same thing, a half a shekel. There, the sacrifices represent the purpose of the Mishkan, the spiritual ideas. That's the Eda, the unity of spirit, the unity of what's it called, of intent, of goals, of values and standards. And then the last truma was, there were 13 different materials that were needed in the actual construction of the Mishkan, Zohav, Kesef, Nechushes, Treles, Argoman, and so on. That was the third donation. There everybody gave something different. Different amounts, different, what's it called, different materials. Whatever a person had, that's what he gave. And there, everybody wasn't the same. Everybody was different. They gave different amounts. They gave different materials. That is opposite the idea of Yisrael. The concept of every Jew having his unique portion and contributing towards the whole. So the three donations to the Mishkan represented the three kinds of unity. Two of them were equal, everybody the same. One of them was everybody different. Okay. And that's why it says by Har Sinai, the ultimate unity is described as ke'ish echad b'leiv echad, like one person with one heart. And that represents these three kinds of unity. Ish echad, right? One person means a lot of people physically uniting together like one person. Leiv echad, one heart, is people uniting because they have common purposes, common goals. That's the Eda idea. But it doesn't say ish echad b'leiv echad, one person with one heart. It says ki'ish, like one person. The like, the chaf, comes to tell me the third kind of unity, where it's not mamish one person, everybody doing the same thing, just like one person because everybody's doing their unique part, but they're all doing it towards a common goal and common good of everybody. So that is the idea. Now, let's take it one step further. In the 13 13 different materials that went into the Mishkan. So they were gold and silver and copper, zahav, the zahav kesef nechoshes. And then there was all different kinds of wool and linen, tcheles, the argoman, right? All different kinds of dyed wools and linen. And then those were 10 different things. And then there was what's it called, atzei shittim, there was wood, right, for the boards that made the Mishkan. And then the last three were special. The last three says shemen lamaor, there was oil for the menorah, and bisamim, then there were what's it called, spices, l'shemen hamishcha, to make the anointing oil and the ketores and the incense, and avnei shoem v'avnei meluim l'eifel v'cheshed, and stones, precious stones, but certain precious stones that went into the ephod and the choshen. 12 stones for the choshen and 2 stones for the shoulders of the ephod. Okay, what's the difference between these things? The first 10, it doesn't say zov la'aron, right, gold for the aron or whatever, because the gold was generic. Gold was gold. It was used for many purposes, but it was one kind of gold. There's one kind of silver. There was one kind of copper. It was used for different purposes, but there was one generic gold, silver, copper, wool that was dyed and so on. But when it came to oil, there are all different grades of oil. There's oil that's fit for the sacrifices, for the menachos, for the meal offerings, and that's not the same oil that's fit for the menorah. The menorah has to be pure. The other one doesn't have to be pure. So it had to say, oil for this specific purpose, this great oil. Something very specific. The same thing goes with the bisamim. There are millions of kinds of spices. But they weren't all used in the Mishkan. They only needed a specific kind of spices that were used for the anointing oil and the incense. There were 11 specific kinds of spices for the incense and for the anointing oil. So out of all the thousands of spices, there were only 11 that were needed for the Mishkan. 11 specific ones. And that, therefore, it wasn't all spices, it was specific spices. Same thing goes for the stones. There are many, many precious stones. But only 14 specific kinds were used for the Mishkan. So the last three were very, very specific. The first 10 were more general, which comes to, I think, say the following. Even though there is three kinds of unity, and we said two of them, everybody's doing the same thing, either together physically or together mentally. The last 13, the last unity, is everybody giving different materials. But even there, it's not the same. Because the first 10 materials is still not where everybody is completely different than everybody else. People gave gold, right? And the gold was used for many different purposes, but it was one gold, silver, and so on. Okay? But when it came to the last three, that was something that nobody else gave. That was really unique. Right? In other words, there's things that people can donate that are unique to them, but they're shared by many other people too. There's things that people are really unique, they're different than everybody else. That's their portion and nobody else's portion. And there are things that is a person's portion, but other people share that portion too. Not everybody has gold, but a lot of people have gold. Right? But when it came to those specific things, for the rocks or whatever, it was only these people who gave these rocks. Nobody else. We don't need any more than 13 of them. And then 14 of them, of the rocks. 12 for the Choshen and 2 for the thing. There wasn't any need for any more. So the people who bought the rocks, they brought it and nobody else. The people who brought the Besamim, right, it was them and nobody else. Those things, very, very specific. So therefore, there's two kinds of unity in the two subdivisions of unity in the things where people express their uniqueness. One where they're unique, but they're not, where it's special, but they're not totally unique. And there's ones where people do what is especially unique to them that nobody else can do. Okay? And usually what it is like leaders. leaders are unique, that there's not too many other people that can do the same thing. In the Kahal, there's people who are talented in this way or talented in that way, but there are many people who have those talents, and there's one of many that contribute this special thing, but it's not totally unique. When it comes to the leadership, there, every leader is unique to himself, and there's pretty much nobody else who's exactly like that kind of leader. But that explains the following. It says in Nesi'im, the leaders, the heads of the tribe, said, we'll wait and see what everybody else brings. And whatever is missing, we'll bring. And they were punished for that. Even though in the end they brought three things. What did they bring? The oil, the spices, and the rocks. Those three things. The other 10 things they didn't bring. What was wrong with them? Mice in the end, they brought very nice things. They were not interested in the unity of what everybody else is doing. They were only interested in being special themselves. And in the end, they only brought those three special things. All right? Because they said, you know, whatever anybody else can bring, let them bring. We only want to bring what nobody else can bring. What nobody else is going to bring. We want to be extra special. So they were leaders, and they had that idea behind them. But even the leaders have to be part of the tzibur in the other ways too. They can't just be special in a way that nobody else is the same. They have to be unified also to do together with people, right, when everybody's doing the same thing, and to have the same goals and standards or whatever as everybody else. And even when it comes to being special, they have to be unified in those areas that other people are just as special. Not just giving their unique portion that nobody else can do. Because of that, they were punished, and a yud was left out of their name. Why? Because they gave, out of the 13 things, only three that were the extra special things, and they didn't see the need to give together with others the other 10 things. And the 10 is the yud, is what was left out of their name. Beyond that, I was thinking, there's two kinds of unity in that, where everybody contributes their special portion. There's the number 13. 13 is also a number of unity, because the number 13 is the numerical value of the word echad, one. Aleph is 1, ches is 8 is 9, and dalet is 4 is 13. So the word echad equals 13. But echad is 1, but it's not just an aleph. It's echad. It's an aleph, which is the unity of everything uniting to one, mamish, like a kahal. The ches is a spiritual thing. The number 8 is beyond nature. That's the unity of purpose and goals. And then the dalet is everybody's in their own place. 4 directions, everybody has their specific place. That's echad. The yud, on the other hand, the minyan, the tzibur, is a number of what's it called, everybody's equal. Right? Because in a minyan, it doesn't make a difference how much you weigh or how tall you are, you count only one. Everybody counts the same one. Doesn't make a difference if you're Moshe Rabbeinu or you're the simplest person in the Jewish people, you're just one person. You count one. So everybody counts equally. So the yud is the asaras, the minion of numbers. Every number, one number, 10 numbers are all the same, exactly the same. The 3, what's it called, the 13, in other words, the extra 3 beyond that 10 is echad, where everybody is unique to a certain degree, where everybody has their place specifically. The Nesi'im only wanted the 3 of that 13. They didn't want the 10. They just wanted to be special. They didn't want to be unified where they weren't special. They wanted to do their special part, but not be unified in the other areas of unity. So they were punished that a yud was left out of their name to show you don't want to be part of that yud unity. You just want to have that, the yud gimel, the 3 special things that make it, what's it called, make you special. So that was the problem with the Nesi'im. And we're now approaching Purim. Right, less than 30 days to Purim. And Purim is a time of unity. It says the Jews re-accepted the Torah, just like when we accepted the Torah, we had to be unified. So the Jews united, right, the opposite of being scattered amongst the nations of the world. Purim was also the preface and preparation for build, going back to Eretz Yisrael and building the second Beis HaMikdash. Okay? And therefore, on Purim, we have to prepare by uniting in all these three ways. The Kahal, the Eda, and Yisrael in two ways. Both the Yisrael, where people donate their mamish unique portion that nobody else can give, and unique specialness that other people share too. That's also part of that unity. So there's unity where everybody's doing the same thing together, where everybody has the same common goals, the same together, and then where people contribute their special part, but there's two subdivisions. One subdivision is your special part, but you share that special part with other people who have similar talents, similar things or whatever, right? And then one thing that where you are different than everybody, where nobody else can donate what you're giving, you're special, unique, that's the second subdivision of the third kind of unity. Mamish unique. Then there's special and unique, and where everybody's doing the same thing physically and the same thing spiritually. And it's kedai to work on all of those aspects, because a person has to be unified with the klal on all those levels. And if we do, then we will be preparing also for the building of the third Beis HaMikdash b'mehirah v'yameinu. Any questions?
So the Rav said that there's 13 different materials in the Mishkan. Was there wool and linen together?
Yes. In the clothing of the Kohanim, they were allowed to have wool and linen together. I think we explained it last week. I'm not sure. Maybe not as young here. That, yes, we did. Mm-hmm. That wool and linen is a throwback from Kayin and Hevel. Mm-hmm. That they couldn't get together. One brought, right? But that's only where you're dealing with clothing that represents your own honor. So when you're your own honor, people fought over honor. But the clothing that's the honor of God, and there's another place, tzitzis also, there's no problem of shatnez, because it was only a problem for self-honor, not for when you're honoring God, then you could honor a shatnez also.
Also the curtains in the Mishkan.
What? The curtains also, right, were made of shatnez. But the curtains you can make anyway of shatnez, because you don't wear them.
Yeah.
Okay. Shatnez is only also to wear. Others say just the opposite thing. That since shatnez is used in the Mishkan as an honor for God, you don't want to use that same thing in plain, ordinary clothing. That's why the Torah prohibited it.
Mm.
So it works both ways.